good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name and taxpayer name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And before I get with Ogama here, I just want to say free Leonard Peltier. We say that at the very end of the show, and I kind of want to put that up in the beginning. Wendy will be on tomorrow. She's flying in from New York. Ogama's at her new place up in the deep north. And then we're going to have Dr. Stately and State Senator Heather Keeler here. But without any further ado, I'd love to get Ogama on here with the news that you don't hear from anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, I'm Ian Bourgeois, Robert. How am I coming in today?
Not as good as always, but you're sounding good.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. So for those of you who don't know, I'm in the middle of a move, and the internet is not working at my new place yet. Currently, I have two supervisors on hold with my internet company on the other line. That's how desperate it's gotten. So it's been a bit of a crazy day here, but I still am able to join via phone for the news. So that's what I'm going to do today. I am from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and some Native news here on Native Roots Radio. I always like to start with info on what's happening with the Line 3 project here in Minnesota. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission did issue its notice for public comment on the new Line 3 decommissioning trust fund. What that means is the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission has to have a comment period on the matter of decommissioning the old Line 3 pipeline and its safety. So that is available on the MNDOC. It's edockets.state.mn.us. I'll see if I can share the link if I can, but what you want to do is once you get in there, it's the matter of decommissioning trust fund for the Enbridge Energy Limited Partnership Line 3 Replacement Fund. The initial comment period closes February 18th of 2022 at 4:30. Reply comment period closes March 21st of 2022 at 4:30. And supplemental comment period will close April 20th, 2022 at 4:30 p.m. The topics for comment are what action should the commission take to establish the decommissioning trust fund required by its orders, what terms and conditions should be required in the decommissioning trust fund, and what entity should be named as the beneficiary in the decommissioning trust fund. Basically, Enbridge has to, by law, with its permits, have a plan in place for creation of a decommissioning trust fund, and they have not yet done that yet. So, now there's public comment on how and why that should be done. I don't know why this is being done after the fact, but there's public comment. So make sure you're taking that time to jump on over there. I'll share that link on Native Roots Radio to be able to do that. And then in other Line 3 news, the second round of oral arguments on the Manuman versus DNR case in Minnesota is happening tomorrow, December 21st. What's happening right now is that there is a dispute about whether or not the White Earth Nation tribal jurisdiction in northern Minnesota binds the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to fight a rights of Manuman or rights of wild rice lawsuit in state or tribal courts. At issue, essentially, is whether or not the DNR can be sued by the White Earth Nation in tribal court, which is a federal level of court, over the rights of the wild rice. This is identified as a rights of nature case challenging, and this challenges the Line 3 DNR watering and dewatering permits that allocated a massive 5 billion gallons of water during the pipeline construction during a historic drought last summer of 2021. And the DNR has essentially just challenged whether or not tribal courts have the authority to hear such a case. They did already go through the appeals court for the 8th Circuit in St. Paul on the 16th, and now this will be the second set of oral arguments happening tomorrow. White Earth Tribal Judge DeGroat and the Red Lake Tribal Attorney Joe Plumer will present this tribe's arguments on behalf of White Earth tomorrow, so we'll have some more updates on that. It's Monday here. Some other exciting news that's coming up. I've got some media news here, kind of more worldwide news, but Warwick Thornton, who is an acclaimed Indigenous filmmaker, is going to have a new TV series on Indigenous vampire hunters in the Australian outback air worldwide. So that's pretty exciting. The new television series is called Firebite, and the plot is themed around colonization in Australia, but he's using humor and vampires to get the message across. So pretty excited about that. I've seen some people kind of touching base on it here and there, and really excited. So again, that's Firebite, and that's coming out worldwide. I haven't figured out exactly yet where to watch it, but once I do, I'll update you guys with that. And then congratulations are in order to Sterling Harjo, who's one of the co-creators of Reservation Dogs, who signed another deal with FX. So Sterling will also be writing and piloting new ideas on the FX TV network and directing other shows in addition to having the show Reservation Dogs be nominated for Best Comedy Series at the Golden Globes. So we're all pretty excited about that. And then up in Canada, there is an Indigenous-led bid to pursue the 2030 Olympics in Vancouver. So what's happening is there's an effort to bring the 2030 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games to Vancouver, but it would be led by the local First Nations of the Metro Vancouver rather than, I believe, the Nation of Canada. So that is really exciting to hear, too, that an Indigenous nation is bidding to host the Olympics. Right, Robert?
Absolutely. And I hope to get on one of his shows. I want to start acting again because that's my jam. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say you were acting. I didn't know that. That was a new one.
Every day is an act. And you're an actor, Ogma, when you're a teacher, too. And I was a teacher for almost 30 years, so I was a pretty good actor.
Yeah. I did customer service for a long time, and I also believe customer service is acting as well.
Exactly.
I do have one more. We got
a couple more minutes, so let her rip.
Yeah, I do have some tidbits here on Enbridge Line 5. I touched base on this last week, but in Wisconsin, Enbridge is, doing the same thing they did to us over here in Minnesota with Line 3, or very, very similar. And right now, the DNR of Wisconsin is seeking comment on the environmental impact statement of the Line 5 pipeline in Wisconsin. So they have a preliminary environmental review of Enbridge's plan to reroute the oil pipeline around the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Tribes reservation in northern Wisconsin. And that's as the result of a lawsuit filed by the Bad River Band. They want Enbridge Energy to remove the 12-mile segment of Line 5 from their reservation. And then basically Enbridge is asking to bypass the reservation with about 41 miles of new pipe through Ashland, Bayfield, and Iron counties in Wisconsin. So the $450 million project for Line 5 in Wisconsin would affect 135 acres of wetlands, remove trees from 34 acres, and then they claim less than 0.03 acres of wetland would be permanently filled. But the pipeline route will cross 185 waterways in Wisconsin, including the Bad River, Brunswick River, Marengo River, Tyler Forks, and the White River. The company says the line will ship an average of 540,000 barrels a day between Superior and southwestern Ontario, and claims that it is a key piece of energy infrastructure delivering crude oil and natural gas liquids to terminals in Michigan, in which Enbridge is also in a fight against as well with Line 5 in their government.
Thank you, Pinigigi Ogma. We'll be right back with State Representative Heather Keeler. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I'm always really happy to have this young person on our show, State Representative Heather Keeler. I don't think it's a raise, but I gave you a different job title. And again, I always need help, so I really appreciate you. Wendy's flying in from New York. Ogama is up north with her new house and no internet. So Pinigigi for coming on today and saving the day. We're going to have Dr. Stately on the phone too today because he's in a hockey tournament. But I really appreciate you coming in and supporting our show.
Oh, I always love
coming here. Yeah, definitely. So, hey, what's been going on with you? I know I don't want to cut into your segment, but I can just sing a quick happy birthday song. Maybe the shortened version. Happy birthday to you. There you go. Really a happy birthday and, you know, many more ahead. And so what is going on? You had a kickoff today or it's coming up. I'm really excited that you decided to run again. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple times I've been here, they've been about other kind of things I'm doing in the community. And so I am running for re-election. I think we said that before, but, you know, I go back and forth. This job is really, really hard. It's a sacrifice for me. I travel away from my kids every week. You know, for people who know me, when I'm passionate about something, I just put my whole self into it. And so I kind of struggled going back and forth on deciding if, you know, the system is really hard for Indigenous women. But I had to step back and kind of reframe it that for a really, really, really long time in my life, I told myself or fooled myself into thinking that this system just overlooked us and it was unintended consequences that we felt these negative ramifications for in both in Indian country, but also with our LGBTQ communities. And now that I sit in these seats and I really see what is happening and what has happening, is that the disparities and the disadvantages to our communities have been really intentional. And that intention doesn't change if I don't come back to this seat, and if Mary doesn't come back to this seat, and that we don't have more Indigenous leaders in these spaces. And so, you know, going back to my roots of what I believe, that my actions impact the next seven generations, and me stepping away at this point would have an impact on the next seven generations. And so I'm choosing to stay, I'm choosing to run for re-election. But the other thing that's really hard for me, Robert, is like asking people for help. You know, there's this strong independent woman mentality that like I can do it all on my own, but the reality is that I can't. And you know, I need support for a re-election campaign financially. You know, volunteers, that's kind of how this whole thing works, right? You get in there and you do the work, and then you come back out and you do campaigning. And so the Native Roots Radio family has really been so supportive of me, not only just bringing me on and talking about, you know, and highlighting the issues, but, you know, Robert, you and Wendy, the phone calls behind the scenes and the support. And, you know, I feel like you guys can really feel when things are getting difficult for me, and you reach out like family does. And so I just always really appreciate you all for that, and have built some really amazing relationships because of this station, and the work that we're able to do, you know, to protect Mother Earth, to protect our next seven generations, to totally revamp what education looks like, to look at the barriers so that we're preventing homelessness, not just putting shelters everywhere, and language, you know, cultural revitalization. I think you have all given me a platform and a tool to be able to share that message. And hopefully it's inspiring, you know, other kids. We talk about representation matters. And, you know, you talk about it in the school settings, as did I. And this is just a new level of that. And so we did have a birthday party fundraiser. I turned 40 this weekend. Oh. And so just asking people, you know, if they can, or if they're interested in donating at least $40, a little bit goes a really long way. We're a very, very financially frugal campaign. We don't just spend money frivolously. So, you know, I look at it as like an investment in what you want to see Minnesota look like.
Yeah, exactly. And I know we will be supporting you too. And I just wanted to say too, it works both ways. I think we wouldn't have a show is interesting. People would be just hearing me go all the time. So it's great to have guests like you on the show that are really, you know, leading the way. And I just want to say too, to all you people listening into Madison, and now we're in Milwaukee, and we're up in Michigan and Chicago, this sister here really needs your support. And it doesn't matter if you're in her district or not. We really appreciate it, because our bandwidth has gotten really big because of guests like you, Heather, and your passion comes through. I know you were telling me a quick story that you were at some kind of fundraiser for somebody else up in North Dakota. I can't remember where. And somebody from Chicago had knew who you were from the radio show.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy, because we have these conversations that I feel are very like family conversations. And then you realize that like people in other states are hearing us. And so with that, I guess it's fair for us to talk a little bit about the work that we've done in Minnesota that we hope to be an example of what surrounding states can do. Here in Minnesota, Senator Kunish and I led the effort to create the first murdered and missing Indigenous relatives office at a state level. So Minnesota is the first state to have that. And we take a lot of pride in that. And we hope that we did it in a way that other states can follow along and create their own state offices that we can work together to really protect and save our relatives. Other things that we do, you know, we changed building codes so that we can have earth lodges here. So that's a piece of that cultural revitalization. You know, we changed things in our higher ed. We have a Indian education, or a American Indian scholarship that we changed this year, that you don't have to be enrolled to be eligible. You just have to prove lineage or descendancy, because we know that those generations are starting to be the students that we're seeing in higher ed. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, we're working on this year finding the language to pass Indigenous Peoples Day as a state recognized holiday. And so for those people who live outside of the state of Minnesota, these are things that we're doing to try to implement and create, you know, a template for other states to initiate those same efforts.
Yeah, you're not kidding. My other job, I've really noticed that Wisconsin is way behind in the MMIW, but they're catching up, but way behind. And it's not always, they don't have native politicians like we do and representatives to lead the way. So it's almost kind of, oh, that's kind of weird, but because we have it going on here so well with you and State Senator Mary Kunish and Jamie Becker-Finn and the Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, and it's also nice because one thing we have done is really created this Native American caucus. You know, there's caucuses in politics, and really you come together to work on a pretty focused issue. And we just decided we're small, but we're mighty. You know, the three of us have created intentional meeting spaces to really review a lot of the language and a lot of the bills and policy that our colleagues are looking to put forward, because it is important that we have an Indigenous lens on the policy so that we don't continue to have these unintended consequences and intentional disparities to our community. And so we're really becoming a powerhouse in that voice, and we're really working, you know, as little as like gaming changes, you know, making sure that our tribes are some of the first people in those conversations, because that's one of our economic really important pillars for us. And so just trying to be a voice to make sure that people know that we have to think bigger than ourselves. We have to think about all the populations that these decisions really impact. Right. So we're excited to implement that this session as well, too.
Well, I know, too, if it wasn't for you and possibly the Lieutenant Governor and people like that, there are things that happened these last few sessions that would have never happened before and haven't happened since. There's been funding happening for Native communities that we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that goes to, as a caucus, we really care about our equity focus pillars. You know, I'll give it to our leader, Speaker Hortman, you know, put some really phenomenal people in those positions as chairs, so that we're looking through committee work through an equity lens. We just try to kind of go a little bit deeper to say it's not just equity, it's also being like Indigenous focused and making sure that we're being good neighbors. You know, Nancy says it all the time, we're treaty people. Treaty people are good neighbors to each other. So we're doing the best that we can to be the best neighbor to each other, but also to our surrounding states.
Yeah, and what she brings up that is always really good for me to remember is that the treaties go both ways. They're treaties for our white allies and the other people too. So they go both ways. So they protect everyone. So Heather, is there a place where we can give a quick shout out, where we can, you know, celebrate your birthday and also give your campaign some money?
Sure. You can always find information at heatherforhouse.com. So it's the number 4, heatherforhouse.com, because I serve District 4A, try to be creative there. But you'll be able to find my donate button up on the top. And then you'll also be able to learn more about me and my pillars of policy as well.
Well, excellent. Well, we got 20 seconds here, and I just want to gush over you. Wendy and I feel like you're a daughter and a good daughter. And so we really appreciate you and appreciate you stopping in. And I appreciate you stopping in today. We're so close to the holidays because everyone's bailing on me. So, hey, I really appreciate it. Have a good day. This cat's ready to beat me up. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jayselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska, but reside in the Twin Cities area. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Those 65 and over are recommended to receive their booster dose. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. So get your booster shot to make sure you stay safe and healthy this winter. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to this website, vaccineconnector.mn.gov. 651-304-9986. Or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Mornings can be tough. Unless, of course, you're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show every weekday morning from 8 to 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Snow possible late tonight with a low of 7 above, then up to an inch of snow expected on Tuesday with a high of 22. This holiday season, give your loved one a unique gift from one of our unique AM 950 advertisers. Find our list of advertisers at am950radio.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I love that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, it's close to that time where people are taking a break, school's out, everything's happening. So we have Dr. Stately, and he's going to be on the phone today. And Dr. Stately, as you know, is the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're just really excited to have you on. Welcome, Dr. Stately.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? I
hear you pretty good, yes. Very awesome. Good. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a good night for hockey. That's what I'm doing. And right talking on. To you, of course.
So. Exactly. Hey, I was, Dr. Stately, I was on a call last night, kind of a national call, and this doctor was talking about basically the last 2 years and what she had gone through from, you know, bringing, you know, taking her clothes off when she came home so she wouldn't affect her children and her family, and just all those things that we know that we've been talking about. But it was really, really emotional for me because it brought me back that, one, we're not over this COVID-19, but also what we've gone through. And I was really, really emotional after I heard this doctor speak.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a normal response. I think all of us have what we would call probably COVID fatigue. Just the things that we ourselves had to do in our daily lives to adjust to, you know, the pandemic and the impact that it had on our daily functions, our ability to socialize and be close to people we love, and close to our colleagues at work and those kinds of things. And that was, those are all really challenging things for us to have to manage, right? And then on top of that, we had also probably many of us also lost loved ones, right? We, you know, certainly in Indian country, we lost entire pockets within the community. I was talking with my partner the other day, my children's other father. My children and him are from Crow Creek, South Dakota, and they had one of the greatest impacts on their reservation. At one point in time, in one of the darkest times in South Dakota, Crow Creek had the highest positivity rate in the nation. He lost many family members during that period of time, but one entire family, from the grandparents down to the children, were lost.
Wow.
And when you think about that, like an entire family of people were gone in succession within several months. And just, I want people to just close their eyes and imagine every single member of their family, including themselves, being gone. And what an impact that would have on their extended family, the impact that would have on their community, right? But I can't even just imagine them, how you would bear that weight, right?
Well, Dr. Stately, you were in the hospital, and I mean,
a year ago now.
I know, that wasn't that long ago, and that's a frightening proposition that you went through, and we've moved on and forgotten, and now until we talk about it again, and it really hits home how close and how deadly and what you went through, and last night I just got emotional like thinking back these last 2 years.
Yeah. It is very emotional. It's an emotional time for me right now. The other Conan, my partner, is in the hospital now. Went there in the ER on Saturday night, and he's been texting me all day. He's like, they still haven't found me a bed. I'm in the closet, and I'm in a closet on a gurney. And he's been there since Saturday, so it's Monday night. So he's been two nights. He's been there in the closet. In the hospital, because all of their beds are filled up. And then he texted me again earlier and said, you know, they've had 4 code blues tonight already. You know.
Wow.
And my heart just sank. I was like, oh my God, I just the anxiety, the fear, the toll that it has on you and his relatives, right?
Right. And in the beginning, too, I don't know where that's at now, but let me stop a second. Did you say that was your partner that's in the hospital?
Yeah, Conan. Yeah.
What? Oh, my God.
The other father of my kids.
Right.
He's not in there for COVID, but he had, like, I think this is the other thing that I really want to take the opportunity to impress upon people, how important it is to go out and get vaccinated if you aren't vaccinated. Practice social distancing and masking up when you're in, when you're outside your home and those kinds of things. It's really important to do that because, I just heard on the radio like less than an hour ago on that station we won't mention, which is like you know, Omicron is now the dominant variant in the United States. It represents 73% of all new cases in the United States in the last 3 weeks. And it's only been in the United States for 3 weeks. It's now in every single state, I believe. That is, like, I want to remind people, like, how long it took Delta sort of to become the dominant strain and how long. It certainly didn't happen in 3 weeks. It happened, I think, in a couple of months. But this is scary and frightening. All of our ERs, there's no ER beds, our ICU beds available in the state of Minnesota. So if you have a chronic condition like my partner does, he has his diabetes got a little out of control during the pandemic. He's been having a hard time getting it back under control. And a chronic health conditions that can actually take your life as well. If you can't get into the hospital and you can't get into an ICU bed and get the treatment that you need, you might as well have COVID because you're going to possibly succumb to your chronic condition. So we're really, you know, our healthcare system is at the brink of breaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to think about, we must start thinking of others. Even if we can't think about ourselves and think, oh, well, maybe I'm impervious to this. I've got it before. How many relatives and people have I talked to that said, no, I've had this before. I'm going to be okay. I'm like, actually, you're not going to be okay. And here's the reason why. And I explain to them, like, why natural immunity is not as effective as getting, you know, the 3 doses of the vaccine. And so I just think it's really important that we begin to think about that. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a really, it will be a silent night.
Yes.
You know,
One of the things that she talked about this doctor last night that really brought it home too is in the beginning of this too, before there was a vaccine, that people were passing away without seeing their relatives. You know, and people couldn't go see people. And I'm kind of getting a little emotional now thinking about that. And you lived through that.
Yeah. Well, it terrifies me now. I can't go into the hospital to see their father in the closet, right?
Right.
They're not letting people in the hospital. And so I have to be like, well, you know, hopefully he gets into a hospital a bit soon and hopefully he gets what he needs and he can get out of the hospital. And that's a scary proposition for us.
Well, I think, yeah, and I think, I don't know, I feel like, you know, I was brought up during the Vietnam War, and in the beginning of the news every day, there was how many Viet Cong were killed and how many American soldiers were killed, and it was like keeping count of we're winning because we killed more of them. And when I watch the news now, I feel like I'm kind of feeling the same thing. I'm kind of numb to it, and it's red alert time, and I don't think people realize that. Either they don't watch the news anymore, or they get their news in the wrong place and don't realize how full and how bad this is. I mean, Saturday Night Live, which I watch pretty frequently, they had no audience. They only had a few of their people working there, and they still did the show, but it was, you know, it's hitting hard in New York, and they're buckling up there.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, that is like that. You know, the signs of the times suggest that we are not out of the woods. In fact, we are deeply in the middle of the woods. And the signs of the times also suggest that, you know, we have a couple of pathways out, but we also don't know yet what waits for us on those pathways, right? So we're still trying to get some information about, like, you know, just how deadly the Omicron is. We now know that it's, you know, 40 times more, you know, transmissible or something like that, which is scary and frightening, right?
Right.
You know, that we're on record. I think I read in the New York Times or another newspaper that we're on track to break 1 million, over 1 million deaths.
Wow.
You know, and that's substantive. You know, I don't remember how many people the Vietnam War killed, but I don't think it was over 1 million people.
Wow. Well, I got somebody here that Kathleen mentioned that up here in Canada, they're in serious lockdown now, probably till January or February for sure. And we have the holidays right now with people flying and going around and seeing people. And it's a frightening time. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but this is something that, you know, we talk about, and it was really brought to my attention last night at this symposium. Dr. Stately, do you have time to do another segment? I know your sons are playing hockey pretty soon here.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that.
Sorry, I misspoke. We're on track to break 1 million deaths in the United States.
Right.
5.35 million deaths worldwide so far. That's probably perhaps the worst number of losses we have ever had in our history.
Exactly.
It's something that's preventable. War is preventable too, but like, you know what I mean? This is preventable. Definitely.
Well, let's talk some more and then maybe lighten it up and talk a little bit about hockey. But I really appreciate your expertise and your knowledge here. And I know since you've been on our show for almost a year now, we've turned a lot of people into taking the shots. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, Matt McNeil. Thanks to everyone who became a member of AM950 over the last 2 years. To say thanks, we're bringing back the AM950 calendars new for 2022. More of my photos taken on my nature hikes around Minnesota, plus important progressive dates. All new or current members who make a recurring donation of at least $25 will receive a calendar as a thank you. Or with a one-time $50 donation, we'll gift you a calendar as a thank you as well. Go to am950radio.com to order your calendar now. Thank you so much for supporting AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. I'm here with Dr. Stately, Anthony Stately. He's the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we've been talking, kind of reminiscing, but also talking about the reality of this new variant and what's going on all over Turtle Island. And I know how devastating it is and has been with our language. Our elders have gone, and we were just talking about we're on course to a million deaths here in the United States, and it's looking bleak here. Welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Thank you. It is looking bleak. I'm in the arena already. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you okay.
Okay. So the sounds of youth hockey, they'll be screaming in like a second or two, I'm sure.
Well, heck, let's talk about it a little bit. Do you want to talk about your young sons that are getting older every day playing hockey, and what's that all about? I know we've been blessed with people like Henry Boucher and some really good Native American hockey players.
We have some amazing Native American hockey players, you know, and my sons have played hockey since they were 5 years old. You know, it was certainly not something I planned. You know, they saw other people doing it. I think one of them liked the idea of watching people smash into each other and knock them down, and that was probably what thrilled them. But they've been skating since they were 5 years old, and they're just, you know, they've gotten very, very good. They're on a B1 Bantam team now in high school, so they're in the first year of high school. They'll be trying out hopefully for varsity next year or just junior varsity. You know, and they're going to want to, you know, they're going to hopefully play high school hockey as well, and then hopefully college hockey as well at some point. But their team was, up until a couple of days ago, was first in the state.
But,
you know, those stats fluctuate. You know, depends on number of games played. If you're in a team and you play five tournament games and you win all five of them, you can pull up to the top of the bracket fairly quickly. So.
Hey, can I do my Rodney Dangerfield impression about hockey? Hey, I was at a boxing match, and a hockey game broke out. Oh, wow.
it's pretty accurate, actually, especially in high school. So.
They don't fight. They do a lot of. Let me ask you a quick thing about their hair. Now, do they have long hair? Do they have hockey hair? Because I know that's a big thing here in Minnesota during.
You know. High they had hair. I have not cut their hair since they were born. They had long, long, long hair, braid all the way down to their butts and past their butts, actually, until this time last year, January 18th or 15th or something like that, I think cut it. And it was hard. It was a really tough decision, man. I went back and forth with them on that for a really long time. And, you know, they launched a fairly decent argument, I think. They talked about, like, you know, well, we just went through a year of really difficult time. You got COVID and you almost died. We want to start over. We want to refresh. We want to have, you know, I let them do it, and they cut it. Thankfully, they didn't cut it really short. You know, now they're totally into the hockey flow thing. You know, they go back and watch those YouTube videos of hockey hair, the hockey hair champions, you know, every single year at the state championship games. They have this whole thing where they get, you know, they name the top 10 or top 15 people with the best hockey hair in the state. So that's what they're gunning for now. They want to, you know, they want to have, like, you know, they want to be on that big, video Omicron thing and have hockey hair and show up on a video. That's what's motivating her now.
Well, it's
even
amazing.
More so than the title, the actual title of being like a champion.
it's amazing, because every once in a while you'll see a mullet and you go, hey, business in the front, party in the back. There's a mullet. I haven't seen 80s.
They have like little baby mullets right now. Yeah. So we're letting them grow out and see if we can't do something with it this winter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I let my hair grow long 5 years ago, just in support of youngsters that were bullied in school with their long hair. And also a friend of ours was sick, and at the same time I kind of grew my hair in support of what he was going through, Barry. It's been
Barry, years.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, we all do it for different ways. I've really, you know, it's the longest my hair's been since high school. And Wendy wants me to cut it because I don't take care of it well, but that's another show and another story.
Well, you can tell her that, like, you know, I don't know what it's like in the Ho-Chunk culture, but I think it's really close to, like, what it is in the Dakota culture. But in the Dakota culture, the wife is supposed to take care of the hair. She's supposed to...
Right.
You know, wash it, braid it, you know, tend to it, take care of it. It's, you know, it's an indication of your undying love.
Right.
I'm sure she's going to love that. I'm sure she'll love that I told you that.
Yeah, I'll just have to remind her. I've had other people other than natives want to touch my hair, and I've said, you can only touch my hair if you marry me.
Take the pen.
Yeah, I've actually had to have that conversation with many people who have who've actually touched my children's hair without my permission. One time I got into an elevator. I was actually at a hockey tournament. I think it was probably up in Bemidji or somewhere else, but somebody kept touching my child in the elevator, and I asked her, I said, please don't touch his hair. And she did it. She was like, oh, it's so beautiful. And she touched it again. And I said, I didn't lose my cool, which I wanted to do, but I got really stern and I was like, look, I asked you not to touch my child. Don't touch his hair. Do it again. And you and I are going to have some problems. Mm. And she just looked at me and I said, I don't have to explain to you any more reason why you need to do it. But he's my child. Don't touch him.
Right.
And it's an interesting idea when you think about it, the privilege that one person has, that they're not even aware of when they think that it's okay to touch another child or touch another person's child or another person's hair.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? I think could do a whole show on that because it's not only young people like your sons at the time, heard women, Native women go through the same thing. And it's just, you just got to say, hey, we're still here. We're human beings. We're not,
we're not pets. We're not a pet, something for you to touch. We're not living in zoos or museums. We are alive and we're human beings. You wouldn't want somebody to touch you on any part of your body, your hair or otherwise, without your permission. I think we have a whole national movement about that right now, don't we?
I think you're right. Well, Dr. Staley, I'm going to miss our after the show talk, but I have to clean the house because Wendy's going to be home in about 3 hours. So wish me luck and put out some tobacco for me that I passed
for
the
test. Sure. I will. And play that portion where I just talked about your hair and when she gets home, have a little studio set up for her. So.
I think it'll be in the best of with that we play all over Turtle Island, and I'll just go, hey, listen to the section here, Wendy.
There you go. All right. Well, you have a good night, and I'm glad she's coming home. Give her my best, okay? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, and thank you so much for being on. I know you're a busy man.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. You go over. Bye.
Hajioni. Hey. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I want to give a shout out to State Representative Heather Keeler for stopping by. Really appreciated that. Of course, Dr. Stately of NATCI. And of course, Ogama with the news. We couldn't do this show without you, and especially Ogama for all the stuff that she does in the background and does the news and keeps us all straight here. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.